So you know when people say, there's no such thing as a dumb question? I think saying that does sometimes encourage people to ask what they need to ask. But what always helps me more is when I'm reminded to ask a question, because in all likelihood, someone else in the room is wondering that exact same question that I am, too. Then I stop worrying about whether my question is dumb or not, or whether dumb questions exist, and I just instead think of how revealing my confusion or doubt could actually be helpful for someone else, too. And here's an example of a question you might have that others might too tonight. Why do we skip some verses here? If you notice in our gospel, we go from verse 17 to verse 31. What happens in between? Well, this gospel passage, this is part of John, the Gospel of John, retelling Jesus's Last Supper with his disciples. And we read John's version on Maundy Thursday because it's the only gospel that includes Jesus washing the disciples' feet. But we cut a chunk of verses here, verses 18 through 31, and they fall right between those last two paragraphs. And some of us actually read that missing chunk together on Wednesday at our noon Eucharist, because it turns out that's a whole passage about Judas and Judas's betrayal of Jesus. Basically, Jesus tells the disciples that one of them will betray him, the one he gives the piece of bread dipped in wine to, and sends Judas out to do his thing. It's excluded here, I think, because A, the gospel is pretty long as it is, but also because Maundy Thursday, it's supposed to focus on the foot washing and Jesus' commandment to us to love and serve one another. But over this last season of Lent, we've been focusing on the theme of loneliness. And when I read this passage looking for loneliness, that's where I found it. In the verses we skipped, in Judas Iscariot's story, Judas the betrayer is a lonely figure. And there are lots of theories about why Judas betrayed Jesus, theories that go beyond, you know, the devil made him do it, or even just simple greed for those 30 coins of silver. And one historically grounded theory is that Judas was profoundly disappointed in Jesus as a messianic figure. You may remember that at that time in Jerusalem, the whole Jewish colony of Rome was boiling over with political unrest. And, you know, historians record a whole series of Jewish uprisings against them and their puppet kings through the first and second centuries. And so there were many who believed then that the Messiah would be the successful leader of a political revolution in the here and now, a son of David that would overturn the current regime, ascend King David's ancient throne, and establish a united Jewish kingdom. But the kingdom Jesus spoke of was very different. His version of kingship was itself revolutionary, characterized not by military might and political power, but humble service and self-sacrificing love. If we take this view, then Judas Iscariot was a disillusioned follower, angry that Jesus would not act, would not lead the cheering crowds on Palm Sunday to victory in the streets. How lonely it must have been for Judas to be harboring unsettling thoughts about his friend's real identity, surrounded by the closest followers who were all in on Jesus. I imagine Judas felt that he had no one to confide in about his doubts and disappointments, nowhere to ask his burning questions or share his resentments. You know, one of the weirdest things about being a priest is that people come to you utterly convinced that they are the only ones that feel the way they do. the only one to be disappointed in God or angry at life, the only one struggling with a particular depth of brokenness or a certain kind of grief or a secret form of doubt. Of course, you can't really turn to them and say, you know, your friend there in the pew with you and I had pretty much the same conversation with me last week. You can't break the isolation yourself, not without betraying confidence. So all you can do is preach sermons that say over and over again, you are not as alone as you feel. All you can do is get these beloved hurting people in a room together and say, share, please, together. In all likelihood, someone else in the room is holding on to that same deep, dark, painful disappointment, doubt, or question, too. What would it have been like if Judas had confided in one of the other disciples? Could they have dissuaded him from what he was about to do? Could they have satisfied his doubts and assuaged his disappointment? Would they have admitted, too, that they sometimes were befuddled by their teacher and impatient at his inaction? Could they have shared why they stayed anyway? What was getting them through? Could they have helped him? Could they have kept him connected if only he had asked? But Judas doesn't ask his questions. He doesn't share his disappointments with his fellow disciples. At the very least, we know he doesn't share his plans. He accepts the bread from Jesus' hands. He gets up from the table and he leaves. And since he does, Judas Iscariot misses hearing Jesus' great commandment of reconnection. Love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. And how does Jesus love? By kneeling down and taking each disciple's dirty, grimy, stinky feet into his hands and gently washing them, the way a servant would a master, the way a mother would a child. And so we do that too, here, tonight. Foot washing is one of the most vulnerable and intimate liturgical expressions of faith we do here in the Episcopal Church. And I think hand washing, which we'll also do tonight, can be a great modern equivalent as well, because feet in the first century were actually much grimier and more world-worn than ours end up being in shoes all day. But regardless, when we allow another person to wash our hands or our feet, we are trusting them with our exhaustion, our less than perfect, our accumulated muck of our day to day. We do more than just ask them to witness it. We let them help. We show them a part of our body we keep hidden most of the time, and we let them care for it. There's this new trend that's going viral around the mom networks of the various social media sites. It's called nesting parties. And nesting parties replace the classic baby shower. So you're probably familiar with traditional baby showers, the ones where everyone gets dressed up in pastel colors and nibbles on cucumber sandwiches and watches the dolled-up mom-to-be open cute little baby clothes. The kind of party that takes decorations and planning and catering and mountains of thank you notes and cleanup. At a nesting party, on the other hand, the friends and family of the expecting mother descend on her house in sweatpants to join with her in all the nitty-gritty work that goes into preparing a home for a baby. They scrub her tub and fold her hand-me-downs. They screw together cribs. They sanitize baby bottles and vacuum nursery rugs. They enter into the messiness of her life as it is and help lift some of the burden off her shoulders. They meet her wherever she is, as she is, and help her to get where she needs to be. No judgment, no abandonment, just service. It takes a certain kind of strength to let even friends into a messy house at the stage of life where when you're so pregnant you can't even tie your own shoes. It's a type of strength that Jesus asks of us. Love and be loved as I have loved you. Love by letting each other in. Love by letting each other help. So in a moment, just about right now, I'm going to invite you to wash each other's feet as Jesus commanded. For some of you, touching someone else's feet will be the hardest part of this. For many of you, it will be allowing someone else to touch yours. And if feet are too much for you, we do have the hand washing station. I encourage you to try washing someone's hand and letting someone wash yours. Whichever you choose, I pray that this act tonight doesn't stand on its own as a weird thing you do once a year. I pray that it stands as a symbol for your intention to allow others in, into your questions, your disappointments, your mess. I guarantee you'll find you're not alone in any of it. Amen.